Welcome to Teachable Moments with your host, Amber Waters Porter. Prepare to enjoy conversations and practical discussions with biblical principles that inform, inspire, and lift your spirits to new heights. Listen weekly as you live in the moment and allow God to speak wisdom to your life. Now, find your moment with your host, Amber Waters Porter.
It's Tuesday, everyone. Welcome back. Hope you enjoyed the rest of last week and your weekend. And we're back at the moment. Welcome for today on Tuesday. Today I have a special drum roll, please. Sandra Elliott. And she's going to grace us. Before we get to Cassandra, we're going to have our Mama Says by Pastor Taylor. Mom?
Well, good evening, Amber, and how are you?
I'm just peachy. How are you?
I'm blessed and highly favored. Tonight, I want to share with you and your listeners a particular song that just rested in my spirit all day long. And that song is Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. So while singing that song and just kind of musing on the words, I became interested in who wrote that, what motivated the person to write those lyrics. And I found out that it was Anthony Showalter. And interestingly, he was a leading song person in Alabama in his particular church. And I found out that he went to a rehearsal after which he went to his boarding house and found two letters awaiting him from two former students of his. The interesting thing is that each of them had been married and each of their wives died the same day. And the two husbands, now widowers, were extremely upset. They were seeking comfort from Mr. Showalter. So they wrote a letter to him explaining each one different, not knowing the other had a similar circumstance. And Mr. Showalter wanted to write something to them that would comfort them. And he found the words in Deuteronomy chapter 33, the 27th verse, which says, "The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." Hence, we have the words that say, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. I'm leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. That just blessed me all day long. And so I want to throw out to your listeners these encouraging words. Lean not to your own understanding, but to lean on the everlasting arms of Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. Well, I have peace complete with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. So as I wrap up, my sister, I share with you and encourage and admonish you all to lean on the sacred, holy arms of God. Everything we need, he has. Lean not to your own understanding, but lean on the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God bless you, Sister Amber. I'm finished. and the Lord keep you is my prayer.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Carolyn Porter. Thank you. Sandra Elliott.
Hey, God bless you, Sister Amber. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm blessed.
You are blessed. We've had you as a guest so many other times, but it just seems you have so much going on. I am on your Facebook and as well as your Instagram, and so let me ask her. She's doing some stuff. She's doing some good stuff. So let's get taking off the table. And this is the year to write a new story for your life. So I'm going to let you get started, and I want you to tell us what you got going on later on this year or later on this week, this month, the conferences, so that we can catch up. And as well, tell us what you like, because I see you post.
Well, I'm excited. I graduate with my bachelor's degree in biblical studies May the 27th in Clinton, North Carolina, from North Carolina Theological Seminary. I'm so excited about that. It is a prayer answered. Since, you know, being sick so long, I wasn't able to go to school. And I'm giving God praise for that accomplishment because it was a prayer. Sometimes we don't give God's size of prayers. And that was a prayer. And he answered that prayer. And I'm very, very excited about what God is doing. Has several conferences coming up. I will be in New York City on June the 2nd through the 3rd for Women in White at the Pilgrim Cathedral of Harlem, 15 West 127th Street in New York, New York. I'll also be in Safety Harbor, Florida on July the 13th through the 16th for the Designing Women Retreat. The theme is the Kingdom Woman. I'll also be at Full Gospel International Conference in Orlando, Florida, the 27th through the 29th of June, and I'm excited about that. So God is really, really good and doing some amazing things. Okay. Thank you for having me today.
You're welcome. Thank you for agreeing to come back on. Always has something good every day. You're posting great thing through you, or God is speaking to you and ministering through you through on social media. So
I can hear you just a little bit. I think we're having some
technical difficulties.
Yeah. So just say if you said some of it again.
What is the year of the finisher?
Oh my gosh. I simply heard the Lord say that this is the year that we take incomplete off the table and that we cross the finish line. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And in the beginning of January, I began to play the song by Hezekiah Walker, Better. I began to decree over people on Periscope and on Facebook Live that this is your better year. This is your year of better. 2016 brought particular things, and 15 brought particular things. But 7, the number 7, which is the number of completion, means that you're going to finish, not only finish strong. This is the year of focus, favor, faith, moving forward. It's the year of faith to believe that whatever God has promised is going to come to pass. But you've got to believe it with your, not only with your mouth, your declaration, but in your heart, to believe that God really, really wants you to finish. And so that's all I'm talking about all year, that this is the year of the finisher. This is the year that you get stuff done. You don't do it alone. That God is going to send people to partner with you. God is sending you your own squad. He's sending you your own inner circle. He's sending people that will champion for you. He's sending people that want to see you win. This is not the year to be tolerated, but celebrated. This is the year to get your dreams and visions off the paper and into the reality of your life. I really, really believe it. And I can't talk about people being a finisher unless I finished. And for me to finish 2 years of school in 2 years, it wasn't easy, but it was necessary for the process. And I literally just turned in my thesis paper 2 weeks ago. And I'm grateful to God for the fact that I was able to finish school. You know what's amazing, Amber? That when you're heralding the message for people to finish, to take incomplete off the table,
right,
you will be so challenged. Amber, I was scared about my finals.
No.
I got to the final. But then it was time to write the paper, find the sources and all of that. So down to the wire, you know, that week I was telling people, you got it. And I kept hearing this voice say, you don't have to do it. You don't have to finish. You don't have to submit the paper. You don't have to do it. As I'm telling everybody else to be a finisher, I'm being challenged within myself to shut down the voices telling me not to do it. And on the last day, at 2:30 in the morning, I pressed the button and submitted the paper in Delaware at a hotel in ministry. And just, I had to grab myself, Amber, at that time of the morning. I mean, even to the last minute when the computer shut down and didn't save the document. I'm serious.
Oh, my.
Exactly. I'm in the business office at the hotel, and it comes up and says, in 1 minute, this computer will shut down.
Oh, my God.
I put the period on the page, and it shut down, and it was not allowed to save the document because it was a public computer.
My goodness.
I had to go all the way upstairs in my hotel room. I had to do all of the final work over, and I pressed the button. Okay, Amber, I pressed the button, but how about this? It didn't go through the first time. He said, fail to send. Are you serious?
The devil.
And I can't scream because I would wake up the whole Embassy Suites Hotel and be like, I can't do that.
Right.
So I sat and looked at the computer like it was talking to me or something. And I tried again. You have no idea. I mean, in any kind of circumstances like that, anybody would have just been like, and all I could do was I was so quiet and silent because I knew at that moment, here we go, I had to cross the line so I couldn't lose my composure. Somebody needs to write that down. When you're at the line and you're challenged to finish, you don't lose your composure because of all the training you've had. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. All things are possible to those that believe. If I've got the word in my heart and I know what God has promised me, I don't lose my composure. I sat still. I didn't freak out. I calmly gathered my things, and you know that's not me.
No.
Okay? I went to my room. I sat up under the computer and finished. Uploaded it to an email and submitted it. And that was it. I can't teach you to be a finisher if I'm not the first partaker of the fruit.
Right.
So now I can teach people. Even in my most challenging moments, I crossed the finish line.
That was a huge test. I know that's happened many a times, and you can't do anything but cry. You know, you'd be ready to pick the computer across the room. So that's what the finisher is about. And that was a perfect example. Yeah, it was kind of.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I love how God showed me. But Amber, I got to be honest. Those of us that are heralding the truth to other people, that same word will come and challenge us.
That's true.
But we push through.
It's not always easy. But we push through. So,
amen.
Incomplete off the table.
Yeah. Whew. Well, I know so many people that have dreams and visions that have not been completed, and they literally just walked away and said, I can't do it. You know how a kid is in the playground, and they'd be like, I don't want to play no more, and just walk away? So many people have had so many disappointments and just been so discouraged. They tried and they tried again, Amber. They just tried and tried so many times without being able to complete a thing. But this is the year that if this is the year of the finisher, you determine that incomplete is not an option. take it off the table. Take it off your list. If it even seems that it's most likely that it won't get done, you find a way to complete whatever you know God has given you to do. You don't settle for incomplete. And when I look at the definition of incomplete, it talks about not having all the parts. It talks about things being unfinished, or it talks about just not having everything you need, not full or not finished, not having some parts, missing pieces, not yet done. This is a year that I don't walk away from 17 with it not yet done, not full. Every piece of the will of God for my life in this year, I am saying, God, I trust you enough that incomplete is not an option for me. It's not an option. God has not called us to live a life of disappointment or called to live a life of incomplete. And so I'm heralding this to everybody I know. Take incomplete off the table. If you call, here we go. If you're called to write the book to now and the end of the year to do it, if you're called to start the ministry, God has given you vision. Start the ministry, the 501c3, the homeless shelter, the daycare, whatever God has called you to do, to travel, to speak, whatever he's called you to do, incomplete is not an option. If God gave it to you, he's going to help you to bring it to pass. I really, really believe that. I can no longer stand around and watch hearts be broken because they didn't complete a task or something that was in their heart. So this is the year. Incomplete is not an option.
Well, I have to ask today where you're almost done, and in 1 minute it says it's shutting down. If you at that moment were able to get everything and go upstairs and finish it, but what does a person do? But what practical thing can I do if I absolutely feel like I can't do it anymore? I can't take it. I give up. What do I do? What does a when they get to that point, go any further? What am I supposed to do? What do they do?
You find some reinforcements. You find people that believe in you and want you to win. You got to pick up the phone and ask for help. Call someone, ask them to pray with you. Sometimes you need a voice to speak into your life at that moment to remind you of who you are and to remind you of the promises of God. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And you forget in the moment. You need somebody to remind you of who you are, whose you are, and what you've been called to do, and the promises in your life. And that's why I keep saying to Amber, this is a year that we don't have to do it alone. We all need a squad. We need an inner circle. We all need a tribe. We need people. And I said that so clearly this morning. You must be around people that want you to win. You must share plans with people that desire to see you win and not sabotage your efforts.
Yes.
Too many times we keep explaining to people who we are when they should know it based on our relationship. But also, sometimes people can't handle the capacity of your elevation of where God is taking you. You got to make a shift and a change in your inner circle for that season. Everybody can always run the race with you, Amber.
Yes.
Some people won't get sweaty, won't stand at the sidelines, you know what I'm saying? And there's another thing that I say to those people. This is practical. Hear me. I say this every time I talk to people about this. Even if I cross the finish line before you, Amber, I'm not going to keep on running. I'm going to turn around and see you coming. I'm not going to leave you until I see you finish. Every one of us needs somebody in the moments when we got that last lap, Amber, that last 5 yards, and we feel like we're out of breath and we can't take another step. You need somebody at the finish line say, come on, you got it. One more step.
Uh-huh.
You can do this.
Uh-huh.
Come on, breathe. Come on. You got it. You got it. Come on. And by them pulling you, pulling on your spirit, lifting up your spirit and looking at you, you can push them through the pain, push them through the moment to help them finish. And guess what, Amber? If I gotta reach over and get you, I will pull you over into victory. There's a video on YouTube called 200 Miles. I encourage everybody to watch it. His name is Eric, and he watched somebody by the name of Anita die from a blood cancer. Amber, he ran around Central Park 3 times. 32 times around Central Park equals 200 miles. He did it 3 years. Amber, on the fourth time, Amber, at the 31st mile, everyone that was diagnosed with cancer in New York that was a part of it, he raised $1.1 million for research. His feet were blistered. He was tired, dehydrated. His wife said, baby, you can do it. On the 31st mile, cancer patients, his little daughter, his wife, they all rallied with him and took him over to the end. Amber, somebody's at the 31st mile.
Yes.
And they need to know that you can do the paper. You can finish school. You can start the ministry. Come on. You can live a healthy life. Come on. You can be the one that is the finisher in your family. You
right.
can literally shift the legacy of your family by being the finisher. Too many incompletes. This is the season to get your squad. And for those of you that are listening that feel like you can't go another mile, another inch, you need people that love you enough to want to see you win, that will say, come on, you got it. You got it. That will run with you. You got it. I don't know if you've ever seen the story about the guy that was in the Olympics, I believe. Yeah, he was coming. He was slated to win.
Mm-hmm.
And he got a cramp in his leg. And his father ran down out of the stands to help his son cross the line. Everybody felt like crying. Because all the officials were like, get off the field. He was like, this is my son. He's trained right. for this moment. And if he gonna go over, I'm going over with him. And he hopped all the way with the cramp to the finish line with his father under his arms. That's a father's love. You've come too far. I'm not going to ever let you not finish. You got to have people in your life, Amber, like that, that will see to it that no matter what happens, if you got to crawl,
I'm gonna do
if I got to push you, I'm going to get you over the line.
Now I have to ask you a question because you said something very important and very key. And what you said you have to have a person who wants to see you win. And a lot of people, a lot of times, attach themselves to you, but their motives aren't pure. They don't really, really want to see you win. They really want whatever you have that's going on. Maybe they're attracted to your anointing, your position, or maybe they're just jealous. You can't beat them, join them, but then they're not really there. And you just can't tell everybody your vision, your every move. So how do you decipher your real cheerleader, the person who's really in your corner, that really wants to see you?
Well, honestly, you really got to be able to discern it. And I believe that it's through real relationship that you know that. I mean, people that are in the trenches with you. You know, to me, it's a catch-22, Amber, because I talked today about this. I said, God is sending strangers to bless you. Because sometimes people around us are too familiar, that it will send
right.
some unknown person that you don't know. And that's a supernatural thing that has been looking for you to be a blessing to you, to get you out of a place of comfort, to push you into a place of the unknown, to really stretch you and say, you don't know me, I don't know you well, but I'm on assignment to help you. And sometimes when you're in a particular race, you have people that will be there for the race, and then they're over. They're done. Their assignment is to you for that moment to get you over, and that's it. They're not to be your friend. They're not to be a confidant. They're not to be anything. But guess what? A trainer, a cheerleader, someone who champions for you. But then there are times where you have an inner circle. Jesus had an inner circle.
Mm.
And there were people that will be with you that you know their heart. They know your heart. They know your sufferings. They know your pains. They know your life. And guess what? They are your ride and live, not ride and die.
Ride and die.
They're your ride and live. And they will go the mile with you. I've got a few people like that. I can count on my hand people that I know that are like that. I've had a mentor for over 20 years. She loves me. She's been with me through so much. And I've been with her, and she's watched me grow up. And at any moment, I can call her, and she will push me over the line. And so, you know what? Sometimes it's through trial and error. But I believe that God won't allow you to get into the trenches with somebody and not, you know. Now, Amber, honestly, you cannot not know who's not for you.
Right.
I don't care how good they are. There is a sense of discernment within all of us. And sometimes, Amber, we don't trust it.
You don't want to believe it.
But here's the deal. When people show you who they are, believe it.
Yeah. Believe it. Because that's who they are.
Don't try to figure it out. Be like, no, can't be. Be like, mm-hmm. Because
exactly.
Everybody's true colors come out. And listen, another thing, too, we got to listen with a different ear when it comes to our destiny. Oh, that's good. Now, Lord, I have to write that one down. We need to listen with a different ear when it comes to our destiny. Because guess what? God does not want every woman to get a premier seat into what he has destined for us.
Okay.
Got to be very, very careful. Exactly. Honey, you got to be careful who's sitting in the front seat. I promise you, you really, really do. But practically, I hope I shared that with you, that you got to know, and sometimes there's two or three, it's not always in the crowd, and then sometimes God will send a stranger who's on assignment that has exactly what you need to get you over, and they have no more, there's no more use for them. They'll walk away because they're saying, I came for this reason and this reason over. Only it's not to connect with you. It's to get you over the line. It's to be a blessing to you. And then I got to move on to my next assignment.
All right. Sometimes we try to hang on to them, and it just doesn't work. That wasn't their purpose. It wasn't in the place.
Exactly.
So.
Again, please. I'm still here.
I'm going to be here on June the 6th.
Yes.
Okay.
June 3rd.
Mm-hmm. That's July 13th through the 16th, and you're going to the full gospel.
So here.
July. Okay. The obvious. This is a year of the finisher, and Andrew, I know you can't hear me right now.
I'm right here. I can hear you now.
Okay. It was good. Everything you talked about was good.
Thank you.
Consented to be on tonight. And we're going
to I'm so honored that you would have asked me.
Thank you, guys. I'll see you next week on Tuesday, 6 to 6:30. We'll have Pastor Cassandra back on so we can finish hearing what she has to say, what the Lord has given her. Until next week, guys, enjoy your moment. Good night. Bye, everyone.